Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on KTUO News on Thursday the 29th of March, 2012. Jeff Brownke here for Juneau Afternoon. Today we'll talk with Kyle Fickett about this weekend's Juneau Symphony performances. Laura Haywood and Scarlett Adam will be here to highlight Friday's Juneau Lyric Opera Spring Gala fundraiser. We'll find out about the upcoming Empty Bowls fundraiser for the Glory Hall, and Nancy DeJourney will be giving us the rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Bird Note Music More today at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight looks like cloudy skies and scattered rain showers, low temperatures around 36 degrees. Forecast for Friday, mostly cloudy skies and scattered rain showers and high temperatures around 45 degrees.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Alaska Native leaders from across the state were in Anchorage recently for a conference to address fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. They heard from birth mothers, young adults affected with FASD, and a number of people working to end the preventable birth defect. Callie Goss is with the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration.
There's no amount of alcohol that's ever safe during pregnancy, at any point in pregnancy. A lot of people don't know that. They don't understand that. And binge drinking is just as bad as if you drink every single day. It's actually worse. So you really want doctors and everybody to understand that no woman who's not contracepting and can get pregnant should be drinking, period, end of it. And the second part is that FASD is a lifelong brain-based disorder. The brain is actually damaged. And people who have an FASD can't always behave differently from how they behave. And what they need is early intervention and accommodations and modifications so that they can lead a productive, healthy life.
In 2000, late Alaska Senator Ted Stevens garnered an appropriation of $29 million to address FASD in Alaska. Prevention Manager Diane Casto with the State Department of Health and Human Services says the resulting public education campaign helped cut rates among Alaska Natives by almost half, from 63 to 32 live births per 10,000, and overall rates by a third. But she says FASD rates among Alaska Natives are still high and on the rise among non-natives.
I think because it's a legal drug that we all assume that it is not as dangerous as other things. And I think that until we as a state get a hold on our use of alcohol and our overuse of alcohol, that we are never going to make progress. And we have got to really start recognizing that we've got to put some serious resources into ending the over drinking, and that until we do that, there are many of our social issues, including fetal alcohol syndrome, that are going to continue to grow.
She says people deal with birth mothers harshly, and she'd like to see that change.
I think there's this attitude that women deliberately drink during pregnancy and they're deliberately harming their child. That's not the case. If they have the disease of alcoholism, they are struggling for very various reasons. We also know that many women drink as a form of self-medication.
The conference was hosted by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez says the state needs more Native Americans willing to serve as foster families. The governor made the appeal Wednesday during an Indian Child Welfare and Protection Conference. There are more than 100 Native children in care in Bernalillo and San Juan counties, but only 5 Native foster homes. In McKinley County, there are 70 kids in custody with 3 licensed foster homes and another 10 on the Navajo Reservation. Federal law requires Native children in state custody to be placed in Native homes. On this day in 1902, Choctaw author Todd Downing was born. He's considered to be Oklahoma's first successful writer of detective novels, according to the Oklahoma Historical Society. Downing's books include Murder on Tour, The Cat Screams, and Night Over Mexico. He also wrote an introduction to Choctaw grammar, which was published by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in 1971 for a Choctaw bilingual education program. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIP, CLIP, GIVE when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is just about 3:06, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is conductor Kyle Riley Pickett, music director of the Juneau Symphony, here to talk about this weekend's Juneau Symphony performances. Kyle, thank you for coming down the station again.
Thanks for having me.
So Brahms this weekend, eh?
Brahms this weekend, yeah. Brahms' First Symphony, one of the most magnificent and powerful romantic works ever written.
Tell me a little bit about Brahms.
Yeah, well, Brahms is my favorite composer, and people often ask me, you know, what is it specifically about Brahms that you love? And for me, Brahms' music is the ideal mix of head and heart, or intellect and emotion. He lived in the mid to late part of the 19th century, and was a pianist, magnificent pianist. A lot of his music was written for piano, but he was great with the symphony, and he just has this incredible gift for beautiful melody. You always leave a Brahms symphony humming, and this First Symphony especially has one of the most magnificent themes that you'll ever hear. Very, very difficult for the orchestra. Really, really demanding, demanding and sophisticated playing for the players. But the members of the Juneau Symphony are doing a great job putting it together.
Was the piano work a day job for Brahms?
Piano work was a day job for Brahms when he was early on. That piano work happened in a brothel. So, you know, he was playing piano in a brothel and then composing at night. Later, he became pretty successful as a composer. He didn't have to. He could give up that job.
What makes it so difficult for your orchestra?
You know, it's... in some ways, I know it's sort of a strange thing to say, because it's not that other pieces don't have it, but there's a purity to the composition that a transparency and a purity to the composition that means that nobody in the orchestra can hide. I mean, absolutely every part is just as critical as every other part. Sometimes, some of the second parts are not as demanding or as important as the first parts. That just happens in some music. In this case, that's certainly not the case. That every player has to carry the full load, the full weight of the symphony, and it has to be blended, and it has to be in tune, and it has to be beautiful, and it has to pack emotional punch, and all of that while you're paying attention to what everybody else in the orchestra is doing. You have to have a lot more awareness when you're playing Brahms than you do with certain other composers. Awareness of what's going on around you and what the other players are doing, and so that's just that's a difficult skill for any orchestra, but it's a lot easier for big time professional orchestras that play together every week. You know, you're playing with these same people every week, every month of the year. Versus an orchestra like ours, where we've certainly all played together many, many times, but months will go by between times when we're playing. So it's that togetherness and communication and ensemble that's always a challenge with Brahms.
Do you juggle?
Do I juggle? I juggle a job in California and a job here and guest conducting.
And being a dad.
And being a dad. I can juggle three balls, but that's all I can juggle.
How do you keep track? If you expect the orchestra to keep track, how can you keep track of the whole orchestra at the same time they're trying to keep track of themselves?
You know, that's a good question. There, the Air Force you're going to think I'm diverging here for a moment, but the U.S. Air Force has devised these skill tests that they give to fighter pilots, because fighter pilots are having to keep track of a lot of information at one time, like how to keep their plane in the air and what else is going on and targeting and communication with other planes and coordinating with their squads and dealing with enemies. And what the Air Force found was that conductors score the best on those tests, because you are, as a conductor, constantly taking information in, which is the sound that the orchestra is making, and communicating information out, that sometimes different kinds of information, while keeping track of the physical gestures that you're doing, while turning pages and you know, remembering all of the things that you studied in the music. And so the skill sets are happening simultaneously, and you really are having to multitask very, very quickly. And it's a skill. You learn and you get better at that. But the biggest one is being able to really hear what's happening, really listen and process what's happening, and direct it to be the way that you want it to at the same time. That's probably the most challenging thing.
I'm familiar with a lot of different gestures, but what are some of the gestures that a conductor might use?
Well, you know, there are time gestures, which are very important. I mean, probably the conductor's single largest responsibility is to set the pace and time for a performance. You know, we're in an odd position in the music world, because we make performances happen without making any sound. So, you know, we've got 65 musicians on stage, and they're the ones making the sound, and yet I'm standing up in front and gesturing to direct how I want those sounds to progress over time. And so time gestures, which we actually call beats, and, you know, beat patterns, if it's in 4, 3, or 2 or any other type of beat. Dynamic gestures, gestures that are supposed to indicate particular quality of sound, you know, how smooth it should be, how round it should be, gestures that, you know, a lot of it is actually from your eyes and from your face, as well as from your arms and your hands. But you're conveying with your body, you're conveying with all elements of your body the ideas about the music that you want the ensemble to play. And oftentimes when the audience sees the performance, you know, they're seeing the sliver, they're seeing the 5% of what we do. I mean, the 95% is in rehearsal and in preparation. And so, you know, when the audience sees me wave my arms a certain way, I just did that, not that people could see that on the radio, but when the audience sees me wave my arms a certain way, and the orchestra responds in a certain way, probably at some point in the rehearsal process, we've talked about that. So it's kind of a reminder to the orchestra about something that we've already talked about.
Do we do things to lighten up the mood, like stick your tongue out at some players? Or?
Yeah, well, we do sometimes do things to lighten up the mood, but usually not stick my tongue out. You know, sometimes it's just a raised eyebrow. That's often enough to get a little bit of a response.
I'm talking to Kyle Pickett from the Juno Symphony. Is the Brahms Symphony the only thing that's on it?
No, two other great pieces. We are featuring our youth concerto competition winner, George Jones. He's a high school student from Sitka. He's a trombone player, and he's playing the first movement of a trombone concerto by Lonnie Grondahl, who I had never heard of, and I'm guessing you've never heard of, but he wrote a wonderful trombone concerto. Actually, it's a really neat piece. I think it's my favorite trombone concerto that I've heard. And then we're playing a piece by a Mexican composer, Marquez, and it's called Danzón No. 2, that's based on dance hall melodies and rhythms from little countryside dance halls in Mexico. And it's high energy, exciting, Latin, you know, feel, a really fun, beautiful piece.
To go along with the brothels that Brahms used to play in.
Go along with the type of places where Brahms used to play piano, absolutely, yeah.
And the concert started at 8 o'clock with the pre-concert talk at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, I want to make sure people know we are doing something special this concert. It's one night only in Juneau, so Saturday night only. It's 8 o'clock at JDHS, and we have a 7 o'clock pre-concert talk. And then Sunday morning, the whole symphony and the whole student symphony, we all get on an Allan Marine catamaran and head to Sitka. And then Sunday afternoon, the student symphony plays in Sitka, and Sunday night, the Juno Symphony plays this concert again in Sitka. So we're touring the band.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
I've been talking with Kyle Pickett, the music director of the Juno Symphony, about the Brahms Symphony and the other performances this weekend at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, I would say I counted up the other day, and this is my 47th concert here in Juno. And we've had 46 great ones, and so I think the one on Saturday night has good odds.
All right, thank you for coming by the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
I'm 317, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juno here on a Juno afternoon. Our next guest is here to talk about the Juno Lyric Opera Spring Gala fundraiser tomorrow at the Baronoff Hotel, Laura Haywood and Scarlett Adam. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Yeah, hi, Jeff.
Thanks for inviting us.
So the GLO has been very busy lately, it seems like.
Certainly seems like it. We've had just one thing after another.
Yeah.
And they've all been very exciting, and we're working hard.
People who do not know, could you educate us on the Juno Lyric Opera, please?
Yes. So we do all kinds of things, from actual operas to choral programs to recitals. We just had a wonderful recital featuring Brett Crawford. That was great. And then many people came to La Boheme last fall, which was one of our operas. And in the wintertime, we have our Midwinter Vocal Festival where, you know, all the choral singers in town turn out to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of one thing after another. And
you said the fundraiser, what's coming up in the future for the Juno Lyric Opera?
Well,
ooh, long list. We've got coming right up after the gala, we've got Messiah, which Laura and Bruce Simonson have been working like crazy on. Big operation coming up here. And then after that, we've got our Divas fundraiser in September. We did our first Divas night last year, and it was a great success, so we're going to do it again.
It was a sold-out crowd.
It was. And this year we're moving it to Centennial Hall, so we should have lots more room for people. We've got Hairspray, one of our big group operations coming up. And
which is a collaboration with Juno Douglas High School, and that's new for us and very exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great show, working closely with Mr. and Mrs. Moore over at JDHS, so it's been a lot of fun so far.
And all these things have one thing in common, is they all do take a lot of money.
Yes.
So that's why into the life of every nonprofit, a couple of fundraisers must fall. And so we're trying to make it as fun for everybody as possible.
Yes.
We're going to have great entertainment, including Scarlett, who will be singing a terrific duet with Cheryl Crawford.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And Brett will be singing again also. Mm-hmm. And
this year we've got Megan Feltz and Heather Mitchell will be singing a duet together. I'm very excited, from Wicked.
And Alaskapella,
yeah.
That's an a cappella group that's formed out at UAS. Christina Pollack has been the prime mover there. They're a wonderful group of mm-hmm. young people will be singing also.
And a few other surprises yeah. for the evening, plus wine and dessert.
And we've had desserts donated by wonderful restaurants, bakeries, mm-hmm. and also some of our favorite bakers. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's going to be great food. You get a free glass of wine with your ticket.
Is there a theme?
It's called Fly Away. The idea is just about now, all of us are really, really sick of Juneau weather, and we just like to escape for an evening.
Although the weather has been cooperating.
The weather has been decent lately.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad.
It will rain.
It will be back, yes.
We did come up with this during sort of the nadir of the whole season. But
John Clow's a pilot. He likes to fly, so he liked that idea.
And in fact, you can bid on a flight with John
Clow. We have auction items.
Big auction, and so many wonderful things have been donated. It's just amazing. The business community really has supported us tremendously.
Yeah.
We've got some great, we've got things like flight seeing and Taku Lodge.
Pearson's Pond.
Thing. Yeah.
All kinds
Pearson's
of good stuff.
Pond, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Is it an outcry auction or a silent auction?
Both.
There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So
there's a big silent auction plus about four or five things that will be a live auction, including a trip to Seattle, which is two round-trip tickets to Seattle, a couple of nights in the Fairmont Hotel, and tickets to the Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. That's going to be a great trip. So we got some good stuff.
My daughter saw Oklahoma recently, and she really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what time does all this activity start?
Doors open at 7. This is tomorrow night, Friday night. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. And you can get, there's still a few tickets available. We're getting very close to a sellout here, but there's still some available now, right now, or last time I looked anyway. And you can get them at the Jack or online at JunoOpera.org or at Hearthside. And I wouldn't count on getting them at the door.
Yeah.
You might get lucky, but we may well sell out at this rate. So, and they're $50, and that's for, you get all this food, the dessert, the glass of wine, and the opportunity to see all this incredible entertainment. So I think it's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. God, how long of a performance is it going to be?
Usually goes about 2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, all right. You're doing a lot of great stuff in the community. Thank you very much for doing that, and good luck with your event tomorrow. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Just come on down. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a fun night.
I've been talking to Laura Haywood and Scarlett Adam from Juneau Lyric Opera, and thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 29th of March, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet R.S. Thomas, born Cardiff, Wales, 1913. Anglican clergyman, Welsh nationalist, though he didn't learn the Welsh language until he was 30. Wrote his poetry in English, but his autobiography in Welsh. He called it Neb, meaning nobody. He was a Luddite. He and his wife lived in a little stone cottage, no refrigerator, no washing machine. He said, "A recurring ideal, I find, is that of simplicity. At times there comes the desire to write with great precision and clarity words so simple and moving that they bring tears to the eyes." It's the birthday of Emmy Sedaris, born Endicott, New York, 1961, grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, author of two satirical homemaking books, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, and Simple Times, Crafts for Poor People. Amy Sedaris, who said in an interview about the Sedaris family, "We read everything we can about diseases and physical deformity. We were so protected in North Carolina. There's a place here in New York where you can get antique skin disorder books in color. They're really beautiful photographs." It's the birthday of Alexandra Fuller, born in Glossop, England, 1969, grew up in Zimbabwe. In 2002, published her memoir, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, the story of her life as the child of white settlers caught up in a civil war in Mozambique. By the time she was 7 years old, Fuller knew how to strip, clean, load, and fire a machine gun. She also knew never to sneak into her parents' bedroom at night in case they mistook her for an intruder. Published another memoir called Cocktail Hour, Under the Tree of Forgetfulness, in which she tells the story of her mother, born in Scotland, raised in Kenya. It's the birthday of Eugene McCarthy, poet and politician, born in Watkins, Minnesota, 1916. And it's the birthday of Judith Guest, born in Detroit, 1936. When she was in her 30s, she read a how-to book called One Way to Write Your Novel. And 3 years later, she published her first novel, Ordinary People. It was a bestseller in 1976, the story of the Jarrett family in Lake Forest, a suburb of Chicago, whose son Buck is drowned in a sailing accident on Lake Michigan, and whose brother Conrad, who was with him on the boat, attempts suicide. The movie won an Academy Award for Best Picture in 1980. Here's a poem for today by Richard Cecil, entitled Where Am I? Beyond the waves that lap the sandy beaches my balcony looks down on, there must be no distant shoreline, only open sea that stretches toward the west until it reaches the sky to make an infinite horizon, which the sun sinks into with a hiss of surf as afternoon and evening kiss goodnight and sky turns on its constellations. The only sounds allowed besides the surf are cries of gulls and very distant swimmers and snapping flags so twisted by the wind it's impossible to say who rules this turf. The kingdom of the endless perfect summers, which I move to every winter in my mind. Where Am I? A sonnet by Richard Cecil from 21st Century Blues, published by Southern Illinois University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry App, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:27, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. My next guest is Maria Levischuk here from the Glory Hole to talk about the Empty Bowls fundraiser going on in the latter part of April. Maria, thank you very much for being in the station today with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So for people who don't know what the Glory Hole is, could you educate us?
We are a homeless shelter, emergency shelter, soup kitchen, and a care center downtown.
How many clients do you serve a year?
Well, last year we served about 53,000 meals, which are breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we provided about over 9,000 bed nights. And we provide other services too, which we don't keep track of as much.
How many years has the Empty Bowls Banquet been going on?
I think five. It's either the sixth or the fifth Empty Bowls.
Yeah. Could you describe it, please?
Yeah, it's a really great fundraiser. All the local potters and turners create this really beautiful bowls, and they bring them over, and you get in line, and you, if you get there early enough, you can choose whatever bowl you want to take home, and then most of the local restaurants donate soups, and so you stand in line, and you get pretty much as much soup as you want, and Daniel from Wild Oven is providing bread, so there's usually unlimited bread. And then everybody makes cookies, so there are all sorts of cookies there. So it's basically food, and then you choose bowls, and they're also going to have music. And it's really a fun visiting activity.
And you get to take the bulls home afterwards, the paper ones.
Right. And they're usually pretty cool, and they also have a silent auction where I think you can get great deals. I think they have a really good silent auction.
We'll have you on in a couple of weeks to talk more about the auction and about the event in general. About how many bulls are made?
I think what we usually have somewhere between 300 and 500 bulls. So, and some usually people don't bring them in until in a little bit. And so if you are a bull maker and you have not contacted us and let us know how many bulls you're bringing in, now would be a great time to do it. The university made a lot, and so did the Canvas Community Studio.
And how many soups are made?
So usually we have very fresh soup, so we will be there, probably we'll pick them up the day before. But I think we're probably going to have about 30 different soups at the event.
I imagine they're all different types of soup?
Yeah, there will be, you know, soups from miso soup to clam chowder to vegetable barley soup, beef barley soup, just all sorts of soups. And it's a really good time to check out new restaurants. We have soups from a couple of restaurants that have not been at the prior events, so that'll be interesting.
Tell me a little bit more about the Gloria volunteers who make the dinners and breakfasts and lunches.
Well, the patrons and the staff usually make the breakfasts and lunches, and we do have some organizations making Sunday brunches, and then all the dinners are made by local church groups or non-religious organizations.
Are there any favorites?
I think Chapel by the Lakes, Thai chicken is definitely a favorite. Shepherd of the Valley's meatloaf is also right up there. The Rotary Brunch is actually becoming really, really popular. Church of Life makes amazing, amazing, amazing Filipino food. They make probably the best adobo I've ever had, and pancit, really, really, really good.
All right, but...
Yeah, I think we have really good food.
Of course, we're talking about the Empty Bowls fundraiser going on in April. What is the exact date?
The date is April 29th, and it's from 5 to 7. And tickets are actually available now at both of the Harf sites, the downtown location and the Valley location, and also from the Glory Hall. And there is information about the event on our website, www.feedjuno.org. And you can also call us and ask us. And their number is 586-4159, extension 2.
So if the idea of an empty bowls banquet appeals to you, but you won't be able to make it, is there an address they could pledge online?
We can donate to us through our website, which again is www.feedjuno.org, or send a check to 247 South Franklin Street.
Maria Lovis, Chuck, thank you very much for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, and then we're really looking forward to seeing everybody on April 29th.
And we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you very much.
My collar and the wind starts to blow, and the sky turns gray and it begins to snow. Put down my head, it's only two blocks more. I make it to my house and then I open the door. Smells like winter at our house. It smells like winter at our house. It smells like winter at our house. It smells like soup. When my dad was a kid in my grandma's home, she taught him how to start with the old soup bowl. You put the water, carrot, celery, and onions in the pot. It only takes a little of whatever you got. There ain't no way to hurry, and my grandma would remind, anything worth waiting for is gonna take time. Smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter at our house. It smells like soup, soup. Soup, soup.
sneak up to the lid, be careful, it's hot. I lift up the corner and I take a little sniff, and then I close my eyes and take a great big whiff. I go and get a tablespoon to steal a little taste. I got a big soup smile all over my face. It smells like winter at our house. Smells like winter at our house. It smells like winter in our house. It smells like bean soup, chicken soup, with macaroni, cream of broccoli, and minestrone, and potato soup, tomato soup, chowder made of clam, miso soup, and mushroom soup, split pea with ham, bouillon scallion, tonka guy with lemongrass, matzo ball, chili bean,
cream of
soup. Doesn't ever matter, let the cold winds blow, let the rivers free, and if it's 3 feet of snow, from my dad and from my grandma, it's what I got. They put a whole lot of love in that old black box. In my mind, it's you, little boy, a distant winter day. He's standing in my door, and I can hear him say, smells like winter in our house. Smells like winter in our house. Oh, it smells like winter in our house. Smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter in our house. Smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter in our house. It smells like winter in our house.
Soup
with macaroni, cream of broccoli, minestrone, potato soup, tomato soup, chowder made of clam, miso soup, and mushroom soup, split pea with ham, bouillon scallion, tonka guy with lemongrass, matzo ball, chili bean,
cream of asparagus.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by an all-new episode of the Alaska Film Archive series, where we learn about ourselves through documentaries from our past. Then at 9, join AARP Alaska host Anne Sechrist as she investigates top investment traps and how to avoid them. That's followed by The Aviators at 9:30. Watch all of these great programs and more tonight on 360 North, and learn more at 360north.org.
The Juno Symphony plays Brahms, one night only, on Saturday, March 31st at 8 o'clock at the JDHS Auditorium. I'm conductor Kyle Pickett, inviting you to hear Brahms' powerful and gorgeous First Symphony, along with Marquez's toe-tapping Danzon No. 2 and our young artist winner, George Jones. Sponsored by UAS, tickets are available at Hearthside, online, and at the door. See you at the Symphony.
Thank you. What's Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:42, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juno here on a Juno afternoon. And now it is time, as they said, for Arts Up. Nancy Juno, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. You're looking very springy today.
It's a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we got daffodils over there. It's great. Okay.
You always have such nice flowers during the spring.
Yeah. It's those rotary bulbs. We get those rotary bulbs, and soon you'll be able to get some yourself. Okay.
We got the rotary bulbs, and we also got rotary roses.
And all those things. So it is a pretty busy week, actually, and spring is upon us, so you have to add in a certain amount of time to go outside and play. Today, it's the start of the open houses at the various schools, in case you're interested in which classrooms to put your students in. The Montessori is having an open house this evening at 5:30 there on the Marie Drake second floor. You can get information 523-1841. This is your last weekend to see Raise It in the Sun. I don't know if you've been able to see it. It's a fabulous show. It was really, really, I think it might be one of the best that Perseverance has put on. And I just checked the ticket count before I came over here. You only have three more nights tonight and then the weekend to see it. And there's just over 200 seats left. So if you're interested in wanting to see that, don't hesitate. Call now. Anyway, Friday, all this weekend, the Association for the Education of Young Children is having their early childhood conference. The topic is profession of play. This is all weekend over at Centennial Hall. And there are a few events that are open to the public. we have the UAS is having a student farmers market. Seems early in the season, but what can I say? They've been working on growing things all year round. Anyway, the benefits from the sales and stuff, the proceeds benefit AWARE. This is happening at 10:30 both Saturday and Friday and Saturday mornings, all day out at the university. So head out there at noon. We've got T.J. Duffy on the organ up at the state office building. Walter Carpinetti will be talking about the Italian justice system with the World Affairs Council. That's at 5 p.m. in the KTOO conference room. This is a free event on Friday. At 6 p.m., there's a family music workshop with Dr. Thomas Moore. He's here as part of the AEYC conference, and this is open to the public. You can get more information about all what he's doing at 789-1235. At 6 p.m., it's the third annual Chili Off, which benefits shelter boxes. This is sponsored by Rotaract. It's over at the Rendezvous. Shelter boxes are these really cool things. It's like a big box full of everything that a family of four, say, needs to survive in the case of disaster. And it costs about $1,000, I think, to sponsor one. And Rotaract has been sponsoring quite a few of them. I'm really excited about that. And so if you like Chili Rendezvous, 6 p.m., go there on Friday. I didn't get the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center topic. Maybe they're not having one this week. I don't know.
I think we saw the last of them.
All right. We saw the last of them last week. Okay. Never mind them. 7 p.m., there's a poetry reading showcase out at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall on Friday night. It is features the work by the UAS English students. It's free, 796-6530. It is, and you've probably just been speaking with the Juno Lyric Opera folks,
mm-hmm.
and they've given you all of the details about their glamorous and exciting spring gala, which will be at the Baranoff Hotel. Tickets are $50. It benefits the Lyric Opera. You can get them at the Jack, our site books online, at the door, all that sort of stuff. And it's an opportunity to dress it up and have a wonderful time listening to great music.
Did you say opportunity?
Opportunity, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Brendan Demery's play was going to start tonight, but it's actually going to start tomorrow. It's at 7:30. I Am My Own Wife. It's a very interesting play, very interesting true story, actually. It will be at the New McFeeters Hall. They suggest this is for mature audiences. You can get the tickets at the Jack, our side books, and more at the door. This runs this weekend, and I think it runs the next weekend as well. And as I mentioned, you've got Raisin in the Sun to see at 7:30. On Saturday, there's the Juneau Community Health Fair out at the Nugget Mall, 9 a.m. in the morning, runs pretty much all day. 9:30 in the morning, Women of Science and Technology Day at UAS. It's a $5 charge for this. It's in the Egan Lecture Hall area. It has all kinds of fun things for different kids to do and all that sort of stuff. Mining and cookies, I don't know. It sounded interesting. So 9:30 a.m. out at the university. 9 a.m., the Montessori is having another public, or at 10 a.m., a public open house for Montessori, Marie Drake, second floor. Again, you can do the UAS Farmers Market while you're out mining your cookies at the university. You can have your photos with the Easter Bunny this weekend at 11 a.m. at Nugget Mall and also on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Cycle Alaska folks want you to be safe on your bikes this summer, so at 3 p.m. their bike clinic on Saturday is about how to fit your helmet on and general safety tips. Good idea for that. There is the Saturday night swing at the Rookery, I believe, at 6 p.m. It's at 7 p.m., the legislative skits. These are always fun. They're over at Centennial Hall. I don't have a whole lot of information about where to get tickets, but I think you can just show up. At 7 p.m., however, it is the Juneau Symphony's pre-concert talk. I always like to get there. First of all, you get better parking, and second of all, Kyle always talks about the most interesting things, and I really feel like it helps me appreciate the concert a whole lot better. One of the things this time about the symphony concert is there's only one presentation of it here in Juneau, and then they're going to go over to Sitka on Sunday. So if you want to hear the Brahms, you need to go on Saturday night. And you, again, there's the I Am My Own Wife at 7:30, Raisin in the Sun at 7:30, and the Juneau Symphony Brahms, the Romantic Symphony at 8 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday's April Fool's Day. This is one of your favorite days. You got a little something special going on.
That's right. It's the Real Alaska Magazine, issue number 3.
Issue number 3 comes out. Jeff Brown himself will be at Hearthside Books in the Nugget Mall signing the new release of the Real Alaska Magazine. I've had a little preview of it, and it's pretty good, pretty good. It might be one of the better ones. So anyway, let's see. There is an April Fool's Day celebration at the Canvas. It's $5. They suggest there will be prizes and all sorts of things. You should come dressed as a jester. They have all sorts of silly things for you to do. It is also Palm Sunday. At 1 p.m., you can go out and have photos of the Easter Bunny right after you talk to Jeff Brown out at the Nugget Mall. And 2 p.m. is your last opportunity to see Raisin in the Sun. At 7 p.m., the Juno Cabaret, a group of wonderful local singers, will be performing at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. There'll be a bar, and it's just really fun entertainment over at the Jack. And I Am My Own Wife again. Monday's kind of a slow day. There is the Focus Writing Group at 6 p.m. Tuesday gets dang busy. It's the Juno School District testing, so if your child is in one of the classes that needs to be taking tests, be sure they get a good night's sleep and a good breakfast. The Juno, Alaska Blood Bank is in town all this coming week. At 9 a.m., you can give blood at the University of Alaska Southeast. I think it's from 9 till 4 in the Glacier View Room. They would like you to make appointments if you'd like to give blood. 796-6528. Tuesday and Wednesday, it's at the university. There's one at the federal building that's open to the people who work in the federal building. And then I think on Thursday, there's one downtown, which I forgot to put in my little thing. I better put that there. There's a charter school open houses on Tuesday at 2 and at 4:30. There's man training at 5:30, Juno Violence Prevention Coalition. This is at the Clink at Haida at 5:30 on Tuesday. Colleen Maunder is doing a book signing, The Map of My Dead Pilots, out at Hearthside Books on Tuesday at 6:30. And it's another one of the mud rooms, Real People, Real Stories, Live on Stage. The topic this year, week is transitions. I've heard great things about these. These are stories. There's a $7 admittance fee, and that benefits the Polaris House. This is over at the New McFeeters Hall.
And this is a week earlier and also a day earlier there because of the Folk Festival.
because of Folk Festival, that explains why it seems like the month went by really fast. Let's see, right Wednesday at 9 a.m., again, you can give blood out at the university. 10 a.m., you can write for your life at Mendenhall Mall. And at 5 p.m., there's a volunteer training for the folks who are volunteering for Celebration. That's in the Hickel Room at Centennial Hall. 6 p.m., the Alaska Design Forum brings a landscape architect, micro-identity, making spaces of wonder that sustain and engage. That's at the Silver Bow back room, costs $10. And we have, over at the Jack, Juno's favorite bluegrass group, Barefoot, in concert. They will be there at 7:30. They sent a little message on ahead that says, yes, we want dancing, and yes, we would like to have a beer garden. So get your tickets now. The Jack is a smaller space, and we don't want to make sure we get everybody in, get you all geared up for Folk Fest, which is coming. Thursday, there's a special Spanish story time out at the over at the Douglas Library with Sylvana Jordan. And our dance troupe that's coming in will be offering the student concert for all of our Juno School District classes at Thunder Mountain. And then we'll also be offering a workshop at Juno Dance Unlimited, if you would like to take that. Give us a call. I think that sums it up. You got enough to do?
Barely. You know, I think Ellen Thunder Tutenoff is performing this weekend, or some of the students are.
What did you say?
Like Alexander Tutenoff.
Oh, that's right. We were supposed to get that on here, and I forgot to get that in there.
That's why they hired me.
Ah, thank goodness.
Keep you in line.
All right. That's right. It's the Tutenoff recital. And this is always fabulous. Plus, he's like the funniest man ever. Next to you.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, too. He'll be on tomorrow night, June afternoon, with Pat Moore.
Excellent. So, yeah, I will put this... make all the corrections on this one and get it posted. And I do hope to see all of you out there at something for this week.
Tell us more about Thodos.
Thodos is a modern dance, contemporary dance troupe that's coming from Chicago. It's called Thodos Dance Chicago. And actually, oddly enough and coincidentally, Gail Ford, who used to administer the Juno Dance Unlimited here, had moved to Chicago and said, got hired as... I just got passed a little note saying I am my own wife is this weekend only, so you got to do it Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Anyway, Thodos Dance Unlimited is a contemporary dance. We don't bring them very often. It's very athletic and exciting. One of the young men will be offering a hip-hop workshop out at the Valley JRC on Friday night, which is, of course, First Friday. It's really, we seldom get the opportunity to see this level of dance, and so I really encourage people to please come and check it out. I'm excited to see them here. Anyway, Gail's working for them now.
And to journey, if people need more information about these activities, they can check out your website at www.jahc.org.
Yep.
Or find a link to that also on our website, ktoo.org. And to journey, thank you for coming by and talking about art school stuff going on.
See you April Fool's Day.
Bye. I'm Riley Woodward. Every fall, we witness the annual migration of students to their local schools, where they meet up with Discovery Southeast naturalists who take them outside to learn. And every spring, we see Discovery Southeast gather resources for their annual spring dinner and auction. Saturday, April 7th, marks the 23rd annual Discovery Southeast dinner and auction, 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Abby's Kitchen prepares the feast. There's a no-host bar, desserts, and a great auction. Discovery Southeast, supporting quality outdoor education for Juno's schools.